Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies Podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies Podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And Ellie Gibson. We're in the countryside. You can even hear the fucking birds.
Yeah, I mean, you say that. They are. I don't know. Why does the cage bird sing? Jared, they're your birds. You tell me.
Cage bird sings because it's calling for freedom.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Everyone thinks it's beautiful, but it's a song of lament. I'm born to be flying, and you've clipped my wings. I haven't clipped their wings. You know, I'm in a cage.
I mean, that was a beautiful introduction to a very fine man. It is, of course, Jared Christmas is in his own house. Hello.
Do you applause? I started my own applause.
We don't normally, but I like it, Jared. Yeah. I think we should have that. That's a new tradition.
Okay. Let's
adopt that. Yes, now that we've done over 200 and... Fuck me! now that we've done over 210 podcasts... Now they want to fucking make noise.
I can move them out if you want.
Oh, my, no, it's fine.
Have you noticed they're just doing it every time you speak, Helen? Yeah. Say something.
Hello?
Maybe I should just release them.
Yeah, no, I think that's better. Into the room. That'd be nice.
Or a pie. That's an awful thing to say about your budgies. What are your budgies' names?
Queenie and Bobson.
Oh, that's nice. Why are they called that?
Because my daughters named them. My youngest daughter, for some reason, has Bobson as her go-to name. My oldest came up with Queenie. So Bobson's boy, Queenie's... We've gone very traditional with
the
genders of our budgies.
Very nice, very nice. Are you hoping for some baby budgies?
I didn't even want these ones. So, no.
Do budgies mate? I mean, they must mate because they exist as a species.
Yeah, so
they must...
technically, budgies bang. That's what it's called. and that is a boy and a girl.
I'm just looking at them. I can't... Where's the holes? Where's the pokey out?
Yeah.
How do they even do that?
How do they do the missionary? The best move.
But surely... I mean, and this sounds weird. Surely they do it doggy style. The birds do it doggy?
Do they? But they're flying.
They part the feathers.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, you know a lot about this.
No, but do
they go in from behind?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure I've seen something on the internet of budgies on top of each other having a bit of a bounce.
Yeah.
You've seen something on the internet. How does one randomly come across budgie sex on the internet?
There's an Australian...
She's doing her research.
Evening. Well, you know, because I'm new to sex, obviously, so I've been doing... You know, there's all the positions, but there's a term in Australia called budgie smugglers. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Yes,
which is it's a term for swimmers. So maybe I was searching that. Aussie porn.
I think you were looking for tips and techniques. You know, bring something new to the game of
Tinder.
That's
right. Yes. That's right. Because there's a lot of terminology and things like that I'm getting my head around. So maybe I'll
go on. What's some of the new terminology?
What's this? All the acronyms and things like that. Are you into this and are you into that? What did someone ask the other day? He said, "Oh, do you do sloppy blowjobs?" I was like, "What's a sloppy blowjob?" I was like, "Is that just like you just don't care? Is it?"
It's all very
sloppy.
It's all very forward now.
It is.
I mean, I'm only 41, but that sounds very... Like, I would never think to ask someone that.
It's like when you go to McDonald's now and you go through the checklist and you sort of like click, click, clickety click, and then yes, I'll put through my order.
I'll put that in my mouth. Yes.
Exactly. Right. That's right.
Sloppy blowjob, rimming, and frotting. Yes, please.
I'd like a sloppy blowjob and a dry hand job, please. That sounds absolutely. Ideal.
Yes. Oh, I like my hand jobs with chafing.
Yeah,
yes.
And no eye contact. So that's nice. How did we get there?
Well, I was going to say, I feel like we've already
budgies.
Gone
we were
quite,
talking about budgies.
Deep. We were talking about your budgie fetish.
Yeah.
We had a man with a kangaroo fetish on the other week, didn't we? Now we've got a budgie fetish. Nice. I mean, it's all going to... Yeah,
can I just... point out this is not my budgie fetish.
No.
I was going to say... Right.
I didn't even want the bloody boots.
You brought the budgie and then I just brought the filth. But, yeah.
Have you not yet incorporated the budgies into your love play, Jared? Is that something to look forward to?
Very much looking forward to ejaculating to that sound.
If I was your missus, I would train them to fly out of my... Yeah. Anyway.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah.
Release the doves.
Yeah.
As a finishing bit, fly my pretty fly.
It's called the peace vagina.
Yeah, you can hire it out for weddings. It's lovely. They bear the rings to the end.
Oh, I've got a quick anecdote about birds bearing rings.
Excellent.
So I did a gig at Cheltenham Town Hall the other night, and it's beautiful. Have you been there? It's beautiful space. Yeah. So years and years ago, I met someone at doing that gig. Who had been to a wedding in that venue, really expensive wedding, and they had an owl fly the length of the room with the rings attached to its leg, right? So the I don't know what an owl keeper is called, but they...
A weirdo.
Yeah. So the couple were up the front, and, you know, they said, you know, have you got the rings? And then the owl keeper comes out at the back, and the owl launches off, swoops over everyone, and everyone's like, oh, this is amazing. But then it goes straight up to the ceiling, and they could not get it back down.
Oh, no.
It was up there, and for the rest, you know, as they're signing the book and all that thing, it's just shitting, and it's just staying up there, and the owl keeper's up there whistling. You go, Barry!
Just with his giant leather glove.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what a lovely story.
Beautiful,
but yes,
right?
we should introduce you. Why don't you introduce who are you, Jared Christmas?
I'm Jared Christmas. I'm a stand-up comedian, father, and budgie fancier and lover to my wife.
That's lovely, isn't
it? It is nice, isn't it?
And we're here, we're down in Somerset.
Especially after an episode of Bridgerton.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's why that program's popular, right? That is soft porn.
It has really helped marriages, I think. Or just women having a nice night in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you actually like Bridgerton, or do you watch it because it gets the missus, you know...
Gets the missus as steamy.
Yes, ready for a dry hand job.
Do I like it? Oh, look, I got into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, in all seriousness, yeah, I enjoyed watching it. But there were points where I was just going, this is what you used to get on hotel TVs.
Yeah. In the good old days.
Yeah, in the early 2000s, you pay £15 for this.
No, and now it's on Netflix. Though. No crinolines, no masks. Yeah. No, very nice. But and also, Jared, as well as that, you're an excellent wearer of trainers and shirts. Can we say
thank
that?
Thank you.
Because we were just in your back room, and your wife was like, and these are the three drawers for Jared's shoes.
No, the kids have got one drawer each, and you've got three drawers.
Yeah, I do.
So you've got a shoe fetish as well as a budgie fetish.
Yeah. Well, I've had to calm down on the trainers. Like, before the kids came along, I think I got up to maybe 42 pairs of trainers.
I love that. About, you could have said
it was around about that.
Yeah, about 42.
I mean, there was one time I was up in Glasgow doing a comedy club up there. I think I was doing four nights, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And, you know, on my first day up there, I went out and bought a pair of trainers. And then the next day I bought another pair. And then I'm making up all these lies to my wife, Amelia. You know, I'm going, it was a 2-for-1 sale, and, you know, there were two pairs of trainers that I really liked, and, you know, and whether she bought it or not, I don't know, but that was
she
back
didn't buy
when...
it, Jared. She
no,
didn't
of course
buy
she
it.
Didn't.
Let me tell you right now, she didn't
of course
it.
She didn't, but, you know, I spent my entire weekend's earnings on bloody sneakers, and then when kids come along, you just can't justify, well, I couldn't justify dropping £110 on a pair of trainers. you know, and go, I'll buy these trainers. We don't need nappies, do we? We don't need those.
They can just shit in the shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Shit in the shoes.
Fine. Yeah, so your name is Jared Christmas. Let's just get this out there, right? So you were born Jared. This is not made up.
It's not a comedy name. It's not a stage name.
No, they were the names that my parents gifted me with. My mum had watched, whilst in hospital at the start of her labour, she was watching some American program and there was a character in it called Jared. And this is weird. I think this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
She fancied the actor.
Right.
And so was like, I'm going to name my son Jared after the man that I fancied. That's weird, isn't it?
And she was in labour. She's like, oh yeah, give me some of that American sweet ass. Yeah. And that's what I'm going to call my son.
And then I totally damaged things on the way out. And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the last time I'll ever feel aroused. So yeah. That makes sense. Wasn't Jared the name of the Goblin King in
that? No, no, close.
Oh, it's Jareth, isn't it?
Jareth.
Close. Because famously, David Bowie in The Grey Tights was a turning point for many, I would imagine, for many women and young girls. It was a point in their sexual, a milestone in the history of their sexual awakening.
Yeah, I bet.
Just to talk some more about your mother's sexual history, which I'm sure you're enjoying.
I'm sure you weren't interested in the crystal balls that he was juggling.
Oh, no.
Dance, magic, dance.
Taken me to a nice place, and so you grew up as a Christmas.
I grew up as a Christmas. Took enough heat at high school to confirm that. I do a few jokes on stage about it.
Mm.
Weirdly, when I started out, I avoided it, and I think it was because I got the. I just thought they were all really easy jokes because I heard them all, and I still get them. I was a couple of years ago checking into a really nice hotel in Liverpool, and the guy was like, oh, Christmas is your surname. I was like, yeah. And he went, where have you parked your sleigh? Where have you... You know, he's just giving them all. And, you know, I'm sort of like, yeah, cool. I'm giving him nothing, but he's not reading the room at all.
Oh, no.
And there was the other guests checking in. And he tries roping them in.
Oh, God.
But they can read that I'm not going with it. But internally, I'm like, I'm a comedian. Maybe I should be going with this. So after that, I told Amelia about it, and she said, maybe you just need to lighten up about it. And I was like, yeah, all right. And then the next time it happened, I absolutely went for it. They were like, where have you parked your sleigh? And I was like, it's not the sleigh I'm worried about, it's bloody reindeer, mate. They're all over the place. And suddenly they're going, oh, this is amazing. And then I'm going, walking away, going, geez, I've done 15, well, most of my life being moody about it.
Yeah.
And then just embracing it and running with it, they felt good, you know. And then I felt not bad. So,
So are your kids' Christmases? Have you passed the gift on?
Yeah, passed that gift on.
You've
got to be very careful with naming kids with the surname Christmas.
Yeah.
Obviously, my parents, and especially my dad's parents, did not give a shit about that because my dad's name is genuinely Chris Christmas.
So the fucking door.
Yeah, they didn't
Christopher
give a shit.
Christmas.
Christopher it's Christmas.
Christopher.
If you want the tongue twister. I'm genuinely, my dad's Chris Christmas, my mum's dad, my granddad on my mum's side, was Ronald McDonald.
Shut up.
My older brother's named Ronald after him.
Ronald Christmas.
Ronnie Christmas. And by the way, he's in the New Zealand Army. He's Captain Christmas.
Oh, well, listen, I'm sure they have a lot to do in the New Zealand Army. They're very busy. They've got to be taken seriously. They need authority when they're invading all them countries.
And they need seasonal superheroes. And then my auntie who married into the family is Carol Christmas.
No.
Yeah. But my favourite, all-time favourite one is my mum's auntie is Christine. Everyone calls her Chris. She remarried a man called Bob Smith. She's now Chris Smith. Which is Christmas with a lisp. And then my nana, my dad's mum, was Nora Christmas, but her maiden name, Balls. Nora Balls. And always disappointed that she didn't double barrel the name and go with Christmas Balls.
Oh my God. She
missed a trick there.
There was one time at high school, secondary school, that a new kid joined my class.
Mm.
And I loved him instantly because genuinely his name was Richard Puller.
Oh, God.
As soon as the teacher introduced him to the whole class and just 30 boys going, I was like, I'm off the hook.
This is
I am off the hook.
There's a new kid in town.
Yeah.
We had two kids at my school in country Australia called Virginia Dicker and Richard Dicker.
Dick Dicker.
And
I like
Virginia.
The name Dick Dicker.
And Virginia, sadly, when the school, class photos was printed on her name, they forgot. Yep, they forgot the second I. So she was Vagina Dicker. Sorry, Virginia, for revealing this on the internet. But yeah, we all read. I was like, that's brutal.
Bless it. But I bet you're very nice about it.
Yeah.
You?
Oh, yeah. Everyone. No one mentioned.
Really
it.
Understanding. She's still probably got that photo.
Yeah. So do you think, like, you know, all these sort of influences in your life growing up, did that shape you becoming a comedian? What was the sort of, was there a moment, or, you know, some people talk about, you know, I knew that I was going to be a comedian from the get-go. You know, a lot of comedians talk about having a bit of a tough teenage years, but what influenced you to be?
Who hurt you, Jared?
Why are you like this?
Yeah. So I grew up in a military family, and we moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was like a 10-year-old and stuff, I was really angry because... Mm. You know, I was constantly just making a friend and then would move.
Yeah.
And then I'd just make a friend and then would move. And I think that I didn't know how to process that. So I got really angry. I turned into a bit of a bully at the age of 10. And then we moved into the big city, into Christchurch. And I tried to establish myself on the first day at a new school as a badass. And it really, really fucking backfired. And so I got relentlessly bullied maybe for... like a year and a half at that new school. But all I thought was, this is appropriate, because mm-hmm. I've spent 2 years bullying people.
Yeah.
I'm just getting this back now. Okay, fine. I've earned this. I'm due this. And then I think I developed the comedy in making people laugh to try and make friends quicker. Mm. So that's where it all started stand-up-wise, through that bit. Origin stories, Jesus. Well, that's all the movies we get at the moment, isn't it? Origin stories, yeah. Right, let's watch an origin story about a Marvel character that had 3 fucking magazines back in the 80s.
I mean, you could have put in a bit where, you know, you had some titanium plates put in your elbows.
I know, I'd skip that bit. Nice.
I know Logan was on last night, and I'm like, I don't want to watch Logan. No. I want Wolverine.
Yeah.
I'd rather have The Greatest Showman, to be honest.
Me too. Yeah. I watch Hugh Jackman in any... I'm a big fan of that bloke.
Oh, my God. Big any fan. Day, any hole.
You know what? I'll join you on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't want to show off HT, but I met the bloke. I met him.
Yeah. Did you touch
totes,
him?
Totes, shook his hand.
Ah!
How was it?
Incredible. Yeah. Way back in like 2006, I hosted a film review show on a digital channel. Way back when they were just launched, when Sky was like, we've got digital channels, and everyone was like, I don't know what that is.
need content.
Yeah.
I was
doing this film review show on a channel that I didn't even know how to watch it. And I got to interview Hugh Jackman for The Prestige.
Oh my God. Hummina. How do you cope with meeting something so beautiful? I mean, obviously now.
Well,
Hugh
Jackman went great, but I didn't cope when I met Tom Cruise.
Oh.
I didn't cope when I met Keanu Reeves. I did not cope when I met Jack Black. I choked.
Yeah, what do you mean you didn't choke? Was the blowjob not sloppy enough?
No, absolutely. And the hand job was not dry enough.
Sweaty palms.
Yeah, sweaty palms. No one wants
ruined
that.
No.
It's natural lube. Come on. No, I was so nervous. Like Tom Cruise, I was so nervous.
Oh God!
And just got tongue-tied.
Yeah.
And it was all because it was his fault, really.
Yeah, I would say.
I asked him. It was for Mission Impossible 3, and my opening question wasn't really a question. It was meant to just butter him up a bit, you know, wank him off a little. Because in that movie, I think it was the first time he was producer,
right? Yeah,
lead actor, and doing his own stunts.
So he's scooping
all
the money,
script editing, or something like that, right? Yeah.
So greedy.
Yeah, and so I said to him, you know, listed all those jobs, and I was just like, "Where do you find the time, mate? That's incredible." And he said, I just do. And I thought he was going to roll with it a bit. And he went, I just do. And I hadn't mentally prepared for my next question yet.
Oh, no.
And I just went, okay.
Cool.
And then I forgot, J.J. Abrams was the director. I forgot his name.
Oh,
I went, J.J. Adams, I think. And Tom Cruise went, do you mean Abrams? And I went, that's the guy. And then Tom Cruise asked me if I'd seen the film. And I was like, no. No, because they only let certain... We weren't big enough, right? On the red carpet, right at the start of the red carpet, you've got BBC, ITV, Sky, all the big players. And then we were right down the bottom with the student channels, radio. And they don't let us in to watch advanced screenings. And that's what I said to him. I was like, oh, they don't let us in to watch advanced screenings. And he was kind of like, what have you done? Why?
Why are you here?
And, you know, and I was kind of, I didn't want to go, because we're a tiny pointless outfit. And it just...
You don't think he'd work that out by that point. No.
Well, he had. He was pretty much like, I'm creating an exit strategy from this interview now.
I
remember my producer who, you know, I got along with great, but on that one he was like, how do you think that went? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it went well. And he went, yeah. I mean, we've been here for 3 hours and just can't use any of that, can we? I was like, can you use the J.J. Adams bit? But Hugh Jackman was a different story. He brings
the party, doesn't he?
He really does. Because again, we were right at the end.
Yeah.
So he's done an hour and a half of gets to what the PR person. So Hugh Jackman was talking to the people next to us. The PR person leans to us and goes, one question. Everybody else is getting 4 or 5, right?
Yeah.
Get one question. I was like, looking at my list going, what's the best question?
Oh, yeah.
And then he comes over and I just up the kiwi. And I just went, g'day, mate. How's it going? And he went, whoa. You're from down where I am. I was like, yeah, New Zealand. We can still get along though, right? And he was like, yeah, of course. And New Zealand and Australia had just played the Blenders Low Cup. So we bantered about that. And New Zealand had won. And we were just really having a laugh about rugby. And he was really going, oh, I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about the game. You know, so we're then talking about
you
it.
You had an in.
Yeah, had an absolute in. And then the PR person steps in and goes, okay, that's enough now. And Hugh Jackman said, no, he hasn't even asked me about the film. So, no, we're fine.
Yeah.
And then, it was great. And then he told an incredible story. Okay, so this was for the movie The Prestige, which is about magic. He was playing a magician, so it was Christian Bale, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I watch the film, all I remember is Hugh Jackman. There's no one else.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he said he didn't know that much about magic. So he decided to go to Vegas and watch David Copperfield. And he said, I wanted to keep a low profile. I didn't let them know I was coming or anything. I just bought a ticket. But somehow they got wind that he was in. And at the end of the show, David Copperfield invites him backstage. And so he talks to him and says that he's enrolled for this film, and David Copperfield's like, well, I'll take you to my magic museum. And so Hugh Jackman's like, yeah, cool, all right. And he said they walk out of Las Vegas casino and get into the most ostentatious limo. He said, I've been in some limos, mate, but this was another level. The whole thing was gold. Inside, everything was gold.
Just loads of women sawn in half, lying around. Yeah.
Couple of white tigers.
As soon as I went in, he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. It was weird. And, you know, he said it was just way OTT, proper over the top. And they start driving around, then start going into really dodgy area of Vegas, like strip clubs, you know, sex shops, you know. And he said at that point he was getting a bit like, what's going on here?
Mm.
And then they pull up outside a sex shop, you know, neon lights, all of it. And Hugh Jackman says to David Copperfield, I can't get out. I can't be seen here. I don't know if I'm being punked or what, but I appreciate the time I've had with you. Can your driver just drop me off back at my hotel? And David Copperfield's like, just get out of the car, right? So they get out and they walk into the sex shop, and Hugh Jackman said, well, I'm not a prudish bloke, but some of the stuff I saw in there, I wouldn't even know what you'd do with that. And he said the whole floor is just TV screens with things happening. And David Copperfield walks him down to the back of the room, and it's all sex dolls down the back, like really lifelike mannequins.
Mm. Oh, God.
And Copperfield just starts feeling the boobs of some of these mannequins, right?
What?
And then gets to one mannequin and turns to Hugh Jackman and goes, feel the boobs on this one. And Hugh Jackman's like, I don't know what is going on here. Like, this is, I don't feel comfortable. I don't want to be here. David Copperfield's like, just feel the boobs. So he's all right. And as soon as he puts his hands on the boobs, the mannequin splits in half, the whole back wall opens up, and that's where his magic museum is.
Shut the fucking door!
And he said he then spent 8 hours walking around this magic museum with David Copperfield explaining everything and talking him through everything. And he said the whole thing, it's all about illusion for him and misdirection.
Wow.
And he said to him, what is the best... He said, if I have a magic museum where people know where it is, the best place to have it is somewhere people don't want to go or admit.
Sure, that's why I have a sex shop. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. That explains it, yeah. Yeah, hairy freak.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it makes you feel sorry for Claudia Schiffer, right? Yeah. Was it Claudia?
Yes, it was.
Yes,
yeah, it was.
Schiffer, though.
I've Schiffer? Had
that.
Schiffer.
Schiffer.
Schiffer. Isn't Schiffer. An
Claudia
German.
Schiffer.
Yeah. Schiffer. Like, but she, every time she wanted to visit him at work, had to walk through that shit store.
Oh my God.
Do you want to come and have lunch with me at work today? Not really. Do I have to go through fisting section before getting in for some salad?
Oh, so as mentioned, and as people have probably gathered, you did grow up in New Zealand. I've never been to New Zealand, Jared. Is it worth it?
Absolutely. Is absolutely. You'll have to wait a bit though, because not even New Zealanders can get into New Zealand right now.
Well, yeah, but so they've done the pandemic sort of right by all accounts. That seems to be the consensus. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I fully agree. It seems though the vaccine rollout has been really slow. Yeah, it seems good though. But they're all locked down now, which is weird, because when we were in the lockdown, they were having massive concerts and stuff like that. And now, I mean, it's kind of like, why we're doing that, but it's still running rampant.
We're just going back doing gigs now. And, you know, our audiences are slightly smaller because I think people are still feeling a bit, eh. But actually, the people who turn up are just fucking there to have a good time.
Yeah.
And you can read that energy and you can feel that energy.
Oh, like last night.
Yeah.
You know, right from the word go, there was a real nice, buzzy excitement in there. I mean, to be fair, they bought a lot of bottles of Prosecco before the show even started.
They were fairly tanked. They were. Yeah. And just to set the scene for the listener, Jared and his wife Amelia put on this amazing comedy festival in a field in Somerset, and we're under a big, beautiful, let's say, like a big top from you know, Hugh Jackman's film. But it was absolutely fantastic. And yeah, there were a lot of piss women.
Yeah.
And piss women are fun.
They are a lot really of fun. Fun. Yes. Lot
and
of
we
fun.
Had an excellent winning confession last night.
Oh my god.
Oh fuck so me. We've done this show now for like, yeah, probably 8 years, and we've had literally thousands of confessions, and never before have we had I fancy my father-in-law.
Oh, that was beautiful. A
very strong...
It was. And I love that she came up on stage. Mm. I think she could barely walk by this stage. And what did you ask her, Illy?
I said, what is it about? I said, what's your father-in-law's name? She said, Paul. Yeah. And I said, what is it about Paul that you like? And she said, well, he looks like my husband.
So in a weird way, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, when she said that, I was like, oh, that's weirdly acceptable.
Yeah, because if the first one is quite hot, then
and she's not biologically related to either. No, it feels weird because it's I'm justifying her.
Yeah.
What we're saying is go for it.
Yeah.
This is not me building towards coming out as fancy my father-in-law. Just to be clear. It's not me setting the groundwork.
Me neither.
Need to listen to this and me to go. Oh, did you?
I enjoy my father-in-law's company, but.
Not in that kind of way.
In terms of fancying him, no.
No, No. The mother, no?
No.
No. Said that very quickly.
But again, I'm very fortunate with my in-laws. I think they're incredible people and I've really...
Really fit.
Really fit, attractive people.
Nicer with their clothes.
Very, very, you know, that very Swedish vibe, you know? Mm. Like, good looking. You're like, when you go to Sweden, you're like, where'd you put all your ugly people?
How old are your children, Jared?
Oldest is 12, youngest is 9.
Now, do you feel like, because that's similar, minus 6 and 10.
And minus 12 and 10. Yeah. So, we're in that sweet
spot.
Sweet spot of parenting. Yeah. I feel like it's sort of that you know, that time where they're old enough to wipe their own arse. You can have a conversation with them. They want to hang out with you on a Sunday night. They haven't turned into cunts. I mean, it's a really lovely time.
We still get called into the bathroom with them, but it's no longer to wipe their asses. It's because they like chatting.
Oh, yeah, I have.
They love a bloody chin wag while squeezing out a poo.
Yeah.
And it's just funny, they're telling you something and midway through strain.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, oh, Daddy, school was all right today, but at lunchtime, but they just carry on.
Yeah.
Right? It's great.
Yeah, I do. I'm often like, you know, brushing my teeth, and then one of them's having a shower, and then one's backing one out. Oh, just having a lovely time. It's just like, oh, it's nice to connect.
And it's also, I don't find their poo smell offensive. If someone else was pooing in the same room as me, I would be, oh God, I'd be retching. Mm. I'm not saying I like it. But I'm just saying that my body isn't revolted by it.
You're desensitised, though, because you've been wiping their arse.
That's the podcast ruined. Think of something else.
Well, this is it. I mean, Ellie and I have pissed in front of each other many, many times.
Oh, well done.
Never taken.
You've not pooed in front of each other.
No, never.
Why would you? Even be? The only way that will happen is if you go on a tour somewhere dangerous and you get kidnapped, and you're put in a prison cell together,
and
you get dysentery.
Yeah, one of this has to go first, really.
But I feel conflicted.
And you would hold on for as long as you could.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And then one of you would go, "Just do it, Ellie. Just do it.
Don't look at me.
Turn away."
But really, why is it? Because I wee all the time in front of it, up in front of your budgies. I don't even care.
Mate.
But if I'm in the loo and my children could try and come in the room when I'm doing a poo, I can't stand it. I'm like, I need
me too.
Yeah. Why do we feel differently about it? Is it just the smell, or is it, what is that?
I'm just embarrassed about how vocal my arse is, I guess. And also, you know, my poo is strong. You know, I'm all right with that, but why inflict that upon someone else?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I met a really lovely young Scottish guy at a hotel a couple of weeks back.
Here we go.
So we drank a couple of bottles of wine and had all the sex, and then I did all the things. And then I was like, I'll just go to the loo. But when you go to the loo in a hotel, it was just a frosted glass door. Yeah. And was there, you know, I was there all night. And then I just did, you know, when you sort of relax and doing a wee, and I just did one of those farts that kind of just reverberate, like literally the door shook a little. And I didn't know what to say. I was just like, oh my God, the acoustics are so bad in here. And I just had to make a joke of it.
Yeah,
because it was so, but I just couldn't do a poo. And then in the morning, I was like, should I stay for another, you know, quickie?
Poo,
And he was like, no, I've got to do a shit. You've got to go. I was like, okay.
But again, I always find that strange that I've had your penis. I've had your genitals in the place where I eat.
Yeah, we've been really intimate with each other.
But I can't be in a tiny room in the same room and do a natural function that we all do at least 3 or 4 times a day, right?
Yeah.
3 or 4? Wow. Yeah. I have had poo issues my whole life. Couldn't do it at school. I remember before I met Amelia, the dark days, we call it, I went to New York to meet a girlfriend who I'd met over here, and she was based in New York. And we stayed in a really nice hotel. And my whole night was ruined because I needed a poo. Because I didn't want to poo in that hotel. So I said to her, I'm going to go for a walk down into Times Square. You know, and this is like, we were getting intimate.
And
all that. And I just broke it off and was like, I'm going to...
In the middle of the...
Yeah, because I'd been holding on.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm just going to go for a walk. And she was like, why? Why? And I was like, I'll explain when I get back. You know, and she's like, have I done something wrong? Have I offended you? And I'm like, no, but I am at that point, like, prairie dogging. So I just left. Went down into the hotel foyer and used the toilets downstairs, But then in panicking, going, she's up there going, what the fuck? So ran
she
out.
She took a picture of it to show it to prove what you were doing.
No, ran out into Times Square thinking, I'll find somewhere that I can get some flowers.
Yes, yes, you know, good,
and then
good.
Come back with
romance.
Potpourri.
Yeah.
With flowers. But I couldn't find, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't be away in an hour. It's already been 10 minutes.
Yeah, too weird.
And I saw, because it was right on Times Square, I saw like a vendor thing selling novelty key rings. And so I bought her a novelty key ring.
Lovely.
And then went back upstairs and just went in and went, I just really wanted to buy you a present.
Just thought.
I couldn't find anything. I was wanting to get you flowers. Do you know what I mean? All that. And she was
I wanted to get you flowers.
Yeah. And she was like, and you got me a I love New York key ring. I was like, yeah. And she's like, I live in New York. Like, yeah. Yeah. And then it was like 4 days later that I said I actually needed a...
Yeah.
I needed a poo and I didn't want to do it in the... I didn't want to ruin the atmosphere in such an expensive hotel room.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah. Yeah, I thought you were really weird that night. I kind of overlooked it, but I did think if he does one more really weird thing, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. But thankfully, I didn't.
I had I was staying at a you know, just a guy I see kind of semi-regularly, and I was lying down on his lap, and he was just stroking my hair, and then I hear this, and I was like, he said, oh, I didn't mean that, and then the smell was so bad, I thought my eyebrows were going to fall out, and I was like, it was so bad, and that was a moment I thought... could have held that in so bad. It was like the deadliest fart, and he's like, oh, I just didn't think that was gonna be like that. I was like,
you've never done one before.
Well, see, if I was in that situation, I would be going back through my head about previous meals I've eaten.
Yeah.
Trying to I had the chili. You've got to move.
Yeah.
You've got to move. Top tip, if you do need to poo at someone's house, I think this is just courtesy.
Yeah.
Surf it.
What does that mean?
What's that?
That as you release, you flush.
Oh.
Yeah. Then it goes straight away.
There's no lingering.
Minimal smell.
Yeah.
You do have to double flush because obviously you have to clean up.
Yeah.
So you do have to double flush. And if they're pricks and they've heard you flush twice, they'll be like, well, how big was it? You know, but surf it. Absolutely surf it. And bonus, the flushing covers any farts, doesn't it?
This is why. Like, have you been to Japan?
Yes.
No, but
I know what you're going
to
talk about.
Yeah, a lot of the toilets have a fake flushing button, so you don't even have to get up. You can just sit there and press the button.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's why we should move to Tokyo. Well, we were supposed to talk about your children, but
This is the content people need.
Yeah. And one. And I hope at least one person is listening to this whilst pooing.
Yeah.
Going,
yeah.
Great, these are good tips.
Life hacks. Yeah, we're going to just call this episode Shitting Life Hacks with Jared and Christmas. It's going to be amazing. But you do a kids' show as well, don't you?
I do a kids' show, yes, called the Mighty Kids Beatbox Comedy Show.
Yeah.
I do that show with an incredible beatboxer called Hobbit, who... I mean, he is amazing. Mm.
And Ellie has seen your show.
And it was fantastic. Yes, it was honestly brilliant. Google it and go and see it because it is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
What do you find the harder audience though, kids or adults? Because obviously kids can be quite cynical and quite...
Yeah.
Oh, they're hard. They fucking see through you.
I'd be terrified. Yes. We've never done a kids show.
No.
I'd be absolutely terrified. I don't know if I could.
I mean, no. Yeah, so I've learned a lot about it. So the Mighty Kids Beatbox Comedy Show started as a adult show. It was like a late night adult, exactly the same. We were still doing knock knock jokes, we're still doing that, but it was all for adults. And I got frustrated one year in Edinburgh. The whole family were up and we were taking the kids to see family shows. And I was just getting frustrated with how appalling the quality of some of them was. You know, and we were paying 12 quid each to see these shows, and I was so annoyed about it. And I had worked with Hobbit before. And obviously we were doing the adult show, and I just said to him, if I stop swearing, I think this is a kid's show, which is exactly what it was. But I would do angry rants in the adult show.
Mm.
And so I had to really mentally switch that off and go the other way.
Yeah.
And then go, no, everything celebrate. And I think kids respond to you being genuine.
Yeah.
And that's what we try and do in the show, is just we're genuinely having a good time. I'm being a massive idiot. Mm. He's extremely talented. Even on a bad day, it's impressive. Whereas for me, on a bad day, I'm just someone talking, and we can all do that. Whereas him, the beatbox sounds are just insane, right? Yeah. And it seems to work.
So you've learned a lot about, you know, kids through stand-up. And how, as a parent, do you think being a stand-up has helped you be a parent to your girls?
Being a stand-up has helped being a parent?
Yeah.
Yes, in that I got my days with them.
Yeah.
Because I'd go out in the evening usually, you know, especially when we were in London, I would be able to, you know, have a heap of time with them. And I think, you know, in a traditional sense, a lot of dads don't get that.
Yeah.
You know, if they're, you know, leaving at 7 in the morning, not getting back till 7 at night, and then they get the weekends with them, and then you get pricks who still go golfing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I don't like golf anyway, but since becoming a parent, I hate golf even more. Because I'm like, how can you... That's the only days you get to spend with your family, and you're fucking walking and... putting, that,
and high-fiving your mates.
Yeah, and it's always bloody blokes. I mean, I don't want to be sexist about it, but I haven't encountered women who are like, "I'm going to do an entire weekend playing golf." I'm sure there is.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Helen did 9 holes the other night, but that's a story.
Yes, come on.
There it is. Thank you, Jared. You set it
beautiful.
Up.
Beautiful.
Write that fucking down, Gibson.
Seriously, that's a great bit.
That is a good joke. Yeah.
anyway,
the podcast done.
Yeah. I thought, why am I talking about this?
Yeah. But, you don't do angry rants anymore, but you fucking hate golf.
No, I hate the type of... Because I've met a couple of those bloody dads who are like, no, I can't do that, I'm playing golf. It's like, you can do that because you don't have to play golf.
Yeah.
Prick.
Yeah.
Oh, you just bought some new clubs, did you? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Is that why your kid's wearing trousers that are too fucking short?
My neighbour plays golf, and his wife is one of my dear friends, and he's Aussie. And I was listening to them talk the other day, and I can hear the whoof, whoof during the day while he's practising his swings. Anyway, I'm sure she listens to the podcast. She won't mind me saying this. She gets a book in the post and she's like, oh, your book's arrived. It said how to play golf. Look at this big book. What's in it? Oh, swing a club and hit a ball. Yeah, great. There's your book. And it was so funny. And that's just, now that I'm a single woman, I just love hearing couples just ranting at each other. It's very pleasing.
You know, hashtag not all golfers. But.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And fully into, you've got to have a hobby. Yeah. You've got to have that thing that, because this is all consuming, isn't it? Being a parent, and especially if you've got a job that you are doing because you're like, I need to be doing this job.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the money coming in and serving the family and that is all consuming.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I think it's vital for mental health and everything to... have a hobby. I'm talking about those guys.
But just
guys.
Get a better one, bitches.
Yeah, but it doesn't take 7 hours.
Exactly.
You know,
No, but I'm talking about those guys who golf every weekend.
Yeah.
If you golf, you know, once a month.
There is that kind of like, golfing widow. But that is what it is. And then there's the golfing holidays.
I think I'm angry about one guy that I've met.
No, I can feel that you're processing that.
We met this guy. That's good. In the lockdown, there's a golf course not far from us, and it's attached to a nature reserve, which I always find also just a bit strange. You've got, so it's like, okay, the general public can have this bit of the woodland and the nice area, and then this bit is safe for the rich people.
Yeah.
But in the lockdown, the golf club was closed down for obvious reasons, and the golfers were supposed to be off, and you know, and there was no one patrolling the golf course. So we would go to the nature reserve, and then we
just
would
do a couple of shits in the holes.
That's right. Perfect.
You know, I'd give Pete a sloppy dry hand job
behind the number 9.
Number 69.
Yeah.
And then one over there, and we were just like, you know, we weren't like digging up the turf or playing a fucking football match or anything, but we were just wandering over the greens with the kids, and this bloke was like, oh, and he was really like, do you mind? And I was like, not really. No, what? And he's like, I pay £1,000 a year for this golf course. And I was like, well, you can't fucking play golf on it.
Yeah. It's not, the end of the world, mate.
It wasn't even being mowed. Do you know what I mean? It's really good. I was like, well, I'm not fucking setting fire to it. And he was just like, well, it's just people coming up here. You know, it was literally people coming over here, taking our greens. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Using our grass.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. And I think the environmental impact of golf courses is probably pretty brutal.
Yeah. Because, you know, all the people shitting in the holes, that's a lot of methane going
into. I hope you haven't lost your hardcore golf fans who listen to golf.
Yeah, no, that's a Venn diagram that's very strong.
Is it just golf you hate specifically? There's no other sports.
No, I think it's just this one guy that I encountered who, you know.
Let's go from all sports to golf.
Just as all golfers, this one guy.
But the problem is I now associate golf.
It's very triggering for you. I can feel that.
You know, that's how like racists work, don't you?
Yeah, but this is golf, so it's fine.
Absolutely
cool. Yeah. Oh, look, we've had a lovely time. We should probably end it.
How do people find out about your... Because you're on tour now with your amazing show.
Yeah, they don't. It's a massive secret.
Okay.
It's not going well. We've got a website.
www.myspace.com.
MightyKidsBeatboxComedyShow.com.
MightyKidsBeatbox.
Can you
just Google MightyKidsBeatboxComedy. Fucking just Google.
We're on Instagram, MightyKidsBeatboxComedyShow. We're on Twitter, Mighty Kids Beatbox Comedy Show. And if you Google Mighty Kids Beatbox Comedy Show, it'll come up. And we got a nice review in The Guardian.
And it is brilliant. My kids loved it. And I think one of my kids actually joined in. That's how good it was. Because normally they don't want to join in with fucking anything.
And our hope is that the parents enjoy it as well.
Oh, yeah, honestly, yeah.
Because, oh my God, taking kids to kids shows can sometimes be an absolute drag.
Awful. Yeah.
Now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before we go, we do need from you, please, Jared, if you have one to spare, a Scummy Mummy confession. So my confession for this episode is we like to have a family TV show, and in the lockdown we got quite into the Saturday nights and stuff. So our current family TV show is Hell's Kitchen.
Wow.
Because, and the American version, because I really like cooking and food, and my big son's quite into food, but he's really into swearing. He really loves
Perfect
swearing.
Show.
And it's Gordon Ramsay literally saying things like, "What's this? It looks like you've just done a shit on a plate."
Yeah.
But the rule is they can watch it as long as they don't repeat the swearing. Nice. If I hear any of the swearing.
Oh, they're just clocking it. They're just saving it up.
Yeah.
Someone got kicked out, as is the format, and Joe, who's six, got really upset. He went, "He got kicked out by Gordon Ramsay, which is a dick." Right, we really need to talk about this because you can't go around saying that, okay? That grammar is completely wrong. You need to sit down. But now I'm terrified he's going to go into school and call someone a dick. But, you know.
We swear around the kids. Not a huge amount, but, you know, a bit. And a couple of months ago, Amelia swore at the dinner table. Appropriately, I think she'd hurt herself or something. You know, it was like, when a swear word is appropriate.
Yeah, someone had asked her if she wanted to play golf.
Yeah, and she's like,
fuck you!
And both of our girls were like, and then Amelia just said this, you know, did this really nice speech of essentially, it's okay to swear. There are situations where it's okay to swear. I'm not saying go into the classroom and swear at your teacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you hurt yourself, if you get really, really frustrated, sometimes it can just help to say that word. And then I said, why don't we do a swearing amnesty? For the next 2 minutes, you girls can say whatever naughty word you want. And they both got really embarrassed and didn't do it. And I was like, oh my God, I have raised two chicken shits. So disappointed in them. So disappointed. They had 2 minutes where they could have just...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Maggie is the one that, when we took her down to... When we went down to New Zealand when she was about 4 years old, it was stressful.
Mm.
We didn't realise, but we were saying, fucking hell, a lot. And we only found out about her soaking all that up when we got back to the UK and we were in a Pizza Express in Surbiton. And she started going, fucking hell. Fucking hell. In a really crowded restaurant, right? And we were like, don't say that. Fucking hell, not cool, don't say it. And then she just started going, fuck. And we were like, no. And she went, but I'm not saying fucking hell, I'm just saying fuck. Why are you getting upset? And so Amelia just picks her up and carries her out of the restaurant, and she's shouting at me over Amelia's shoulder going, I'm just saying fuck. And I'm like, oh God. And the youngest one's there as well. She, you know, she was eating crayons. And... It was just really embarrassing.
Yeah.
But I knew that she'd been shouting fucking hell, and everybody in that restaurant was looking at us just thinking, fucking
hell. Well, they've been letting the kids watch Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. But I guess my confession is, a while ago we were doing, when the kids were really young, we were doing bath time, which is the middle bit of the holy trinity of frustration, which is dinner, bath, bed. Like, if you can get through that calmly, fuck it, you're better than me.
Mm.
So we're doing bath time. My oldest is in the bath. She must have been maybe four at the time. I was having a bath with her. I used to love having baths with the kids.
Mm.
But then I decided it's end of bath time for me when they started noticing my willy.
Yeah, yeah.
And laughing at it. So that's when I was like, I'm out. I don't need that from them. So I was having a bath with my oldest. The youngest had just done a poo on the potty. Amelia was sorting the bedrooms, came in, wiped the bum, put the potty up on the sink. And then the youngest knocked the potty off the sink, which was right next to the bath.
Oh, no.
And it landed on my head like a top hat.
Oh.
And
the greatest showman.
They started laughing hysterically. Amelia walks in to see, like, shit juice dribbling down my forehead. And I'm just in this bath, just like, oh my God, this is, fuck all of this. I've just got this shitty thing on my head. And
What a lovely story.
Yeah, beautiful story.
Helen, have you got one for us this episode, or are you all out?
The other day I had done all of the washing, right? And so I piled it all up. I thought, yeah, right, today I'm fucking going to put it away because it's my least favourite job. And then I went to pick it up, and then in the middle of it, it was damp. And the cats had gone to the toilet, and it smelt like ammonia. Cat piss is the worst.
You can't get rid of it.
Oh.
Do you know dry cleaners don't accept
cat piss? No.
What, as payment? Or
just a bite. Just a bite.
Because our cat pissed on our really nice duvet cover, and it soaked through to the duvet.
Yeah.
And so we phoned the dry cleaners and said, can we bring in a duvet? And they went, yeah, why? And we went, cat pissed on it. And they went, nope. Absolutely not.
Were you like, sorry, semen. It's
sorry,
not a semen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, sorry, yeah. I murdered someone on it. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Bring it in. Bring it in. They were a golfer and they deserved it. Bring it in.
Fine. Yeah.
Lovely. We've got a lot of animals here, as you've seen.
Yeah.
Pug, two budgies, six guinea pigs, and we've got a cat. And I'm just going to, I feel you.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to drop a truth bomb.
Yeah.
Cats are cunts.
Yeah. I agree. I'm sure yours are lovely, but I can't.
They're not.
I can't. They're sinister
You're
cunts.
You're living with predators.
They're sinister cunts.
Yeah. Yeah.
They only like you because you feed them.
Yeah, that's the sole purpose. But that's the transaction. Yeah.
But people say they look at you with love in their eyes, but they're not. They're looking at you thinking, I wish I was bigger so I could eat you.
Yeah,
exactly.
That is all that. The only
murderers.
Thing.
They're just murderers.
I wish you were dead so I could eat you.
Yeah.
I'd start with your eyeballs, then I'd, you know, yeah. go for the tongue and the soft yep. bits first. And
yeah, they absolutely would. Yeah. Whereas a dog might go and whinge and bark for help.
Yeah.
Whereas a cat is just going to eat you.
Oh, yeah. But then I love them so much.
You know why you love them?
Yeah.
Is because of that parasite that they've got.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's
Do you
that?
Know about this?
No.
There's this parasite in a cat called Trichterhutibahur. And if you spend a lot of time with cats, you get infected by it. And the parasite wants to get back into a cat. So it changes your feelings towards cats, making you love them.
So
that's
like
mice get it. Mice get it. And that's why you sometimes see mice being blasé and not giving a shit around a cat. Because the virus, the parasite, wants to get back in the cat. So it wants the mouse to be eaten so it gets back in the cat.
Oh.
But it can be really bad for babies.
All right, well,
yeah.
Babies, stay away from my fucking house. Okay, yes. Good. Excellent.
Well, there we go. So, yes, we've come to the end of the podcast.
What?
Where can people follow you, Jared Christmas?
Instagram, Jared Christmas Comedian.
Lovely.
Not to be confused with the other Jared Christmas that's out there. There isn't one. Of course there's not. No one else would put their child through it. Twitter at Jared Christmas. Don't really use Twitter because it's a bit of a shit show, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of negativity on Twitter. Trying to get rid of that out of my life.
Yeah, a lot of golf hate on Twitter.
A lot of golf hate.
Too much golf hate, really.
FB. I'm on the old FB.
Yeah.
I don't use that a lot. I'm mainly Insta.
Yeah.
Mainly Insta.
Yeah, mainly
and Insta. Handwritten letters.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
Really with a little scrot, you're like a wax seal, don't you?
Yeah,
face.
Yeah, wax seal and some a tip pick, please. Yeah. Tip pick.
Delivered by Al if you can get them out of the rafters.
Yeah.
All of that.
Don't include the face, you just want
no.
Yeah. I mean, one nipple. Yeah.
I learned about this last night in your show.
Yeah.
That tip pick is a thing.
Yeah.
And I want to say on the record, I've never seen a dick pic.
I've got several.
A dick portrait guy.
Oh,
oil painting takes me a long time.
Yeah.
So still haven't sent one, but it's half done.
Yes. Yes.
Just getting the details right.
Yeah.
Just want to work on the balls. Yep.
We are coming to Exeter, Leicester, Northampton, Farnham,
Canterbury, Bath.
Wow.
And we're doing a lovely big show at the Clapham Grand on the 8th of December. We're going back to Winchester for two dates.
Yes.
Twickers. And Twickenham. Yes, exactly right. Oh. And all sorts of
Cirencester.
Oh,
Banbury.
Yes.
Whoa. So many places.
Oh, wow. You guys love a bit of Clapham Grand, don't you?
Oh, we do love a Clapham Grand because it's half an hour from our house.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes. North and Southampton. But yeah, and then next year we'll be doing more dates. And yes, we'll be going north.
Oh, well, there we go. Thank you so much,
that's been
Jared
a long
Christmas.
One, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being a wonderful guest. And yes, we've had a lovely time, haven't we, Ellen?
Absolutely excellent. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Do tell your friends about it. And if you could buy my book, it's called Get Divorced, Be Happy. And Ellie's chapter is the best.
Page 145.
Yes, it is. Good. Excellent.
I know we need to end, but Amelia ordered your book and I went and collected it from Waterstones.
Yeah.
And I said to the lady, my wife ordered a book, surname Christmas, and she gets it and it's how to get divorced and be happy. I said, I don't think that's her plan. I hope that's not her plan. Because my wife's ordered a book and it's all about divorce.
We had a confession at the show last week, which was I was reading your book the other day and my husband noticed and said nothing, but the next day a bunch of flowers arrived.
Oh, nice.
So there we go.
Alan Thorne making husbands panic.
Yeah, good. Or leave. Oh,
good time. Well, thank you very much, as always, for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
We're hopefully we should be on tour.
You guys go so formal at the end of your it's all been jokey and now you're like and we're on tour.
No, it's like ending sex with a handshake. It's like yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Yes, can you leave now? I have to do shit. but yes, so we should be on tour in October. Go to scummymummies.com. I mean, it depends on this. Have you heard about this potential lockdown?
What?
I can't call it Locktober. Have you heard about this?
Oh my god, what? This is disgusting.
Do you know about this Locktober thing?
No.
Well, first of all, there's this talk that they might do a little lockdown in October, maybe over half term, maybe
little circuit breaker.
Yeah, little circuit breaker. And then so people were like, we'll call it locktober, you know, because everything's like big January, it's got to have a thing. So it was like, let's
people have to mush words together.
Yeah, yeah. We'll call it locktober. And then like someone googled locktober, and locktober is already a thing. Can you guess what that thing is, Jared?
Is it something to do with lockjaw?
No, it's good it's not right. Locktober is a thing in the, I think, the S&M scene where men put their I'm gesturing for you, so you see what I mean, because you don't know where the penis is. Men put their penises in a cage and then they secure it with a padlock for the entire month of October. Or sometimes they're women, if they're dominant women, the women do it as a sort of sexy thing.
They can still wee, but they can't get it hard on. Is
that
right?
I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point. Yeah. But the idea is at the end of the Locktober, when they remove the cage, apparently it's very, very gratifying because you've not, you know, and honestly, I'm going to Google it for you now because the cage is
on Jared's Wi-Fi. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Nice. So like a male chastity bout sort of thing.
Yeah. But how do they go to work? You know, because that...
And also, you know, you can't stop yourself getting an erection.
I mean, look, would you like to put one of those on your...
No, and then how do you wear trousers? That is...
No, that's what I was thinking. How do you go to work and, you know, on the tube and be quite pronounced underneath your chinos, wouldn't it?
People just really like...
hurting themselves.
Yeah.
Look, there's a nice meme here. Wishing everyone a long, frustrating Locktober.
I mean, it's funny, but...
No, it's a real thing.
It seems not very practical. It
seems
really
unnecessary as
well.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because, you know, going a whole month without sex, that is marriage.
Well, anyway, sure, you can get a water bottle. That's nice. So, Jared's face is just like...
fuck it, man. They put woman in chastity belts, so yeah, lock the deck out.
So get one on, Jared.
Lock it up.
I'm going to send one to Amelia, and 30th of September, the fun begins.
And you know what I'd do first is I'd put it on my nose.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.